It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Once upon a time, most, if not all, of the talking heads on television were men, particularly when it came to television news. But then a few pioneering women came along and changed that. It wasn't easy, but they persevered. One of them is my next guest, who burst onto the airwaves in Pittsburgh as the first female commercial announcer, first TV weather girl, as she was called, and first female general assignment reporter, as well as one of the first women in the country to become the solo anchor of a major market primetime TV news show. I'm speaking, of course, about Eleanor Shano. She's written a book about her experiences called Riding the Airwaves, The Life and Televised Times of Eleanor Shano, and she joins us now in Studio A. Eleanor, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm guessing that many of our listeners are getting some chills just hearing your voice coming out of the radio right now.
And, you know, speaking of radio, I have to mention this. I spent almost my entire career on television, but I think this is the purest form of communication. I love radio.
We thank you for that, and we appreciate it. I enjoy it. We've had Diane Rehm on the program talking about why she, for that very reason you just mentioned, why she enjoys radio so much. Now, you say in your book that it's tough to grow up on television. You started your career as a teenager. How did that end up happening?
Well, I started my career. First of all, I always wanted to be a reporter. From the time I was 6 years old, there was a comic strip. It was called Brenda Starr, Girl Reporter. And here's this little kid, you know, growing up, and I'm going to be Brenda Starr. So I would take my daddy's yellow flashlight, and while other kids were playing tag, I would gather the neighborhood kids around, and I'm going to interview them. And I ask tough questions. Who do you like better, your mother or your father? And that was the beginning. So I do think that reporters are – there's something in the DNA. Now, understand, at this time, there was no television. There was no I was a teenager before television came on the scene. And I remember when the first – television station came on the air. That was WDTV. And people didn't know what television was. They would go out and watch little black and white sets, like in the window of a hardware store. And I dragged my father. I was 15 years old or 16. And I said, Daddy, I want you to come down and see television. He was a very smart man. We went down on a snowy night to Crafton, to the hardware store, and I said, this is television, and I think this is what I'm going to do someday. He said, Eleanor, it's never going to last. He said, you think people are going to sit in a room and stare at a box? Of course not. I mean, it's radio. We can listen to the radio as we walk around, do our thing, but television isn't going to last. That shows you how intelligent my father was on that subject. I'm telling you this story because this is – I've lived my dream. I'm living my dream. How many people can say that? And I'm telling you the story because that was the determination, the desire, the dedication I had as a teenager. Now you say – I was in college, and I got my first job at WDTV.
How did that happen?
Well, because I was a fashion model. And at this time, you know, nobody thought of women as being – you had to be deferential to men. You could be a school teacher. You could be a nurse. You know, you could be a secretary. But the other thing you could be as a young girl, and I thought it was great. I was modeling in high school, and they called me in to model some clothes on television. Well, I did it one day, and there was a male announcer in the booth, and he'd say, look at that little Peter Pan collar and the little skirt, and I'm pointing, and I felt so stupid. I went right over to the advertising agency, and I said, if you want to sell these clothes, I'm going to talk about them. And he said, Miss Shano, that might be a good idea. I'll have them write some copy for the script. And I went home crying my eyes out and said, Mother, I have to talk on television tomorrow. And that was the first time I had spoken on television. And I was going to college at Duquesne University. And that's how it all began.
And clearly, you were someone who did not want to be objectified. You had ideas about what you wanted to do on television. So how were you able to make the transition into serious journalism?
Oh, you are...
Eleanor, your phone is going off. Gosh. That's all right.
All right.
It just proves.
Know, I know.
It speaks to the popularity that you still have.
No, it doesn't. It speaks to the fact that technology sometimes baffles me. And I thought I had turned. Now the phone is off.
Fair enough.
Sorry about that.
So the transition to television news, how did that happen?
Well, I'm going to make this very brief because it was a long road and a very difficult road. I was at WDTV doing commercials, and in 1955, Westinghouse purchased the television station from Dumont, changed the call letters from Channel 3 to Channel 2. We moved to Gateway Center, and the rest was history. First television station in the city, first and only, for 5 years. So I went down there, and the only thing that a girl could do was be the weather girl. Diane Sawyer started as a weather girl. That's all they thought we were capable of doing. And I was the weather girl. I'm trying to make this short because it was really many, many years of fighting and struggling and literally knocking the doors down to get into the news business. I became the first female news reporter at Channel 4 because I moved out there when they went on the air in 1958. And I am the weather girl, and I wanted to work in the newsroom. And I finally got an opportunity to cover a news story that got the attention of the news department. And I wrote a chapter in my book. I was the only chick in the newsroom, and literally the only chick. And that's the way they considered me. I was the only woman. There was not another woman in television news in this city.
You had to endure some pretty insulting behavior from men, from your colleagues even.
Paul, I spent many days running in tears to the ladies' room to you know, calm myself after some of the – it wasn't all the men, but it was enough of them that, you know, they thought it was okay. I didn't think I had a first name. It was, hey, honey, sweetie, grab me some coffee. And it was just a different time. They really still considered women as not nearly as smart, as skilled, as capable.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is author, speaker, and broadcaster Eleanor Shano. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email address ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Follow the conversation at hashtag EP Live. Barbara Walters just retired. What did her presence do or mean for other women in television?
Barbara Walters was one of a kind.
You met her. You spent time with her.
Yes, yes. And she was one of a kind. She grew up in not only an era, but a city that she was connected. Her dad was Lou Walters, who owned the big nightclub. So it was not difficult for her to rub shoulders with some of the best and the brightest and the most powerful people in show business. However, she started as a copywriter. And again, she had the desire, the dedication, the determination, but she was able to catapult herself at a time when women without those connections, please understand, I'm not taking a thing away from her. She's probably one of the hardest working women in broadcasting ever, ever, ever. And I challenge anyone to have the kind of dedication that she had to her trade.
You managed, however, to get an interview that I understand Barbara Walters was never able to pull off. That was with Jackie Kennedy. How did you do that?
Well, Paul, I think being a woman reporter, I brought to the table different opportunities that my male colleagues didn't have. For example, the Jackie Kennedy. I interviewed Jackie Kennedy in the ladies' room. Now, this was
you literally did the interview
in the ladies' room,
and I'll give you an advantage over men for sure.
I'll paint the picture.
Okay,
it was during the time that JFK was campaigning for the primary in West Virginia, and they had a rally, if you will, it was a nightclub. It was called the Twin Coaches in Bell Vernon. And we were all sent out there because JFK was coming to town. I was the only woman in the room. I mean, they even had male servers at the nightclub. I was the only woman. And I noticed that Jackie Kennedy was with him, and she slipped into the ladies' room. I slipped in right behind her, and I started up a conversation, and I wanted to ask about, you know, what it was like on the campaign trail and how are the kids. And we got into a conversation, and we both shared a sorrow. She had just lost a child, and I had just lost a baby. And we started the conversation with that bond, and I said, would it be okay if I interviewed you? And I said, I really, no tough questions. I just want to find out what it's like. How tiring, do you like this? Do you enjoy this? She said, okay. Hmm. Well, I scrambled out and I got my cameraman and motioned to him. And I said, you're coming into the ladies' room. And, you know, he looked, what? I'm going into the ladies' room. Yes, you are. Now, we weren't interrupted because there wasn't another woman in the house. And she granted me, and I do think I was one of the few people that ever, because she was very shy. She did not grant interviews. And the thing I remember the most, this tall, elegant, statuesque, dignified, refined woman had the voice of a little baby doll. She talked in a very high, very soft, very, very, she had a very high-pitched voice that kind of did not go with the physical persona, but it was a lovely interview.
Now, like many working women today, you as a up-and-coming journalist were also interested in starting a family. What happened when you were working at, was it Channel 2 when you got pregnant?
Well, yes. And you realized that you could not use the word pregnant on television. That was a no-no.
How did they say it back then? In the family way?
Well, they tiptoed around it, I guess, something archaic like that. But I... actually, that goes back to the time, and you talk about how demeaning my role was at times. I was doing the weather at KDKA and Sunday night, and the sponsor, 13-week contract with a mattress company, and the male boss said, oh, I think it would be so cute if you would do the weather in a negligee sitting on the mattress. And
did you really do that?
I did. Mm. Why? Everybody says, why would you do that? Well, I really didn't have a choice. And it wasn't a negligee. It was, you know, like a house coat or something. But I did it. And actually, I was pregnant at the time. So I thought, this isn't so bad. I can kind of disguise my pregnancy because I had to.
And why did you have to do that?
I would have been fired. Absolutely.
Why?
Because pregnant women on television. First of all, there weren't many women on television, and you couldn't. I mean, it was a time when it would have been the most outrageous. I mean, they just couldn't handle that, the boys. And you know, but I'll tell you the next story about my pregnancy. That was my first. In the meantime, I've gone to WTAE, and I am now working in the newsroom, okay? I have just gotten my little foot in the door, and I'm pregnant. Oh, no, no, wait. I'm hired because I beat out 28 men for a job. I was the only woman. And once they hired me, they said, now look, we're taking a big chance with you. Women, we know, are not as dependable, responsible, and furthermore, they get pregnant.
They're telling this to you.
They tell me, they told me that straight out. Mm. Well, I went on the air in December, and Lori was born in November, so do the math. Now I have been threatened. I mean, you can't become pregnant. I disguised my pregnancy thanks to the fashion of the day, which was boxy. I never told anyone I was pregnant because I would have been fired. I went on the air Friday night. She was born Saturday afternoon. I got my 2 weeks vacation and I was back on the job.
Wow. We're talking with Eleanor Shano. She is a speaker and a journalist, author as well. What made you want to stay in that environment? It was, you were objectified, you were insulted, you were clearly not treated as an equal by most, if not all, of the men in the newsroom. So why would you stay? What made you want to continue?
Because I knew I could do the job. And it never occurred to me to back off or to – I literally did fight my way. You know, I wrote this book for – first of all, I wrote the book for my family, and when I started to write the book, I realized that it had to be the history of television as well. I wrote it for my daughters, my granddaughters, for all the women coming behind me, because I know that I did pave the road to make the path smoother for the women behind me. But why did I stay in the business? Because I loved it with a passion and a purpose, as I do today. I still love this business. I love the opportunity to tell a story, to tell it well, to get the interview. And when I was finally allowed to cover hard news, that I love the challenge of covering hard news. It never occurred to me that I couldn't, and I knew that if I had to put up with the gender bias, oh, the sexual harassment. I quit two wonderful jobs. I became the first primetime female news anchor at Channel 11. Wow. And that was because of Uncle Sam, affirmative action. They said, no, you know, you can no longer keep your license if you were going to have the anchor desk all white, all male. And
yet today,
it's
but is it, it's still, is it, would you say that the playing field is equal
It has shifted. Oh no, quite the opposite. I just was on a panel last week with some journalists who are in the newsroom today, and there are more women than men now. And if you will notice that we now have dual female anchors, actually has shifted.
Is it fair today, in spite of what you're saying, and the numbers show that there are obviously more opportunities for women, but are women allowed to age on TV? Barbara Walters certainly is one, but for the most part, is it really fair?
Paul, I will ask you a question.
Sure.
You watch television.
I do.
Uh-huh. How many mature women do you see? The younger, the prettier. Now, they are skilled. They are educated. They possess all of the important qualities, but by golly, they are pretty, aren't they?
Well, here's how I will answer your question. I used to really enjoy seeing Pauline Frederick. If anybody remembers her,
I do.
The UN, the UN
yeah,
correspondent.
I
remember watching her as a young man saying, mm-hmm. wow, she's really good. Mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of Pauline Fredericks on television today. She was an older woman who knew her stuff. But
well, CNN has a couple of veteran reporters who cover, you know, international news. But No, it's hard enough to work in television, but it's very, very difficult to grow older in television. And just look at the local scene. I mean, they get younger and younger and younger. And I would hasten to say that over 40, you are not exactly shown the door, but they're going to find another role for you.
We're running out of time. How does that get changed? Can something be done to correct that? Because clearly it's not fair.
Television news is driven by ratings. It's a bottom line money business. And as long as, as long as that remains, and it will, you're going to see, first of all, young people work cheaper.
Author, speaker, and broadcaster Eleanor Shano has been my guest. Her book is Riding the Airwaves, The Life and Televised Times of Eleanor Shano. It has been a delight to have you on Essential Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for being
my pleasure.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, Al Hoff of the City Paper reviews summer movies. That's tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Go to our website, wesa.fm. So long for now.